Silence.
Oppenheimer!
I think they're talking about us. No way.
I myself am strange and unusual.
This is Nerd Pride Radio!
Nerd alert!
These nerds are a threat to our way of life.
See, this is the stuff that brings nerds together.
So it's sort of social. Demented and sad, but social, right?
If I'm interested in it, then by definition, it is nerdy.
Are you in loser denial or something?
I'm a nerd, and I'm pretty proud of it.
My dad's a nerd.
Welcome to episode 215 of Nerd Pride Radio. 215, the Dewey Decimal Classification for science and religion. So, ask me how I'm doing today. Go on, ask me. I am awesome! My name is Mike Jones. I'm a D&D / Pathfinder nerd, a history nerd, a sci-fi nerd, a comic book nerd, computer nerd, movie nerd, comedy nerd, science nerd, gaming nerd, plus there's like seven other kinds of nerd I only wish I was nerdy enough to be. You are listening to Nerd Pride Radio, the place I go every week to haver on about all the nerd stuff that just won't fit in my skull anymore. As always, you're listening to the best-smelling podcast on the internet. That's right. Nerd Pride smells exactly like homemade board game pieces in a Ziploc bag. Oh, so good. All right. I got nothing to waste time on. We're going to go straight into the meticulously plotted portion of this podcast. This is the time for me when I talk about whatever's been on my mind for the last week. If something strikes me as interesting during the course of my busy week, I add it to my master list, and the best stuff off of that list gets spewed out all over you guys every week when I record. You lucky dogs. And right into it. The only thing up... Oh, did you have something you wanted to contribute?
No. Just here.
Okay, it's Eli, and he just wants to be close by, but he doesn't want to be on the podcast, so you don't have to talk to him if you don't want to, but, you know, he's here. So, first up, it's my gaming table.
I've got Dungeon Master's Guide. I've got 12-sided die.
Role-playing games, video games, board games, card games, any games. If it fits on my gaming table, I am here to share it with you. Okay, the games I have to talk about this week, and this is actually really all I have to talk about, is some gaming stuff, and then we're going to go right to the Podomatic. I mean, like, I can, on my sheet here, on the screen, I can actually see the end credits already. That's how little stuff I have on the table right now. So, first up, Starfinder. Hey, we played some more Starfinder this week, because remember we played a bunch last week, and which, by the way, for last week's podcast, as my brother pointed out, yeah, we were really kind of spoilery on that first part of the adventure path. I mean, it's just the first third of the book, but yeah, we gave some stuff away, so I apologize. I don't know how to take it back other than re-editing the podcast, and you know I'm way too lazy to do that. But anyway, we played some Starfinder this week, and man, we are still having fun. It is so cool. And we did our first starship combat this week. That was the exciting part. And, it was an extremely simple combat, which was kind of good and bad. I mean, the bad part was that it was kind of a cakewalk and it was over too quick, but, also they had some lucky rolls, really. But it also meant that we, could take our time kind of looking up the rules, because I think starship combat is going to turn out to be really fun, in the future, but we got to get to know the rules. Like, this was introducing everybody to all their possible maneuvers that they could have at their positions on the ship. So, as the engineer, Noah got to choose which systems he was going to give a boost to, or which systems he was going to try and patch up and repair if they got damaged, or, you know, he had his choices. Eli, as the pilot, he would choose the moves, maneuvers,
plus 15 to piloting.
With his plus 15 piloting skill, he's really excited about that. I have no idea how he manages a plus 15, but man, he kicks ass all over that piloting stuff. And so it was getting used to the map, and, you know, we had to look up every single thing we did to make sure that we had the roles right and that we knew what we were doing. But in the end, they were thrilled with it. They had a great time. They wound up being successful, and now they're moving on to the next part of the adventure. So, it actually turned out really well. We were very happy. Other than that, it was a whole bunch of role play stuff. There was a lot of talky stuff going on, which they had a really good time with too. I love the world of Starfinder. I love the default, Galarion world of Starfinder. I think it's really cool. And we're just having a good time with Starfinder. So I will report back as we keep playing. Hopefully we're playing every week for a while because this is good. Anyway, what else? Oh, Santorini. I know I've talked about Santorini before, but, it's a ancient Greek themed, building game where it's a very small board and very few pieces on the board. And it is a strategy game where you're trying to build towers and be the first one to get your worker up to the third level of buildings. And, it is really, really simple in its rule set. Very complex in its play strategy. We have now gotten comfortable enough with it that I think we're going to introduce the god cards to go with it later, because I think that's a really cool concept. And it's just a good game. Ever since we literally just played an hour ago, and ever since then, Noah can't put the board away. He has all the pieces out. He is building the towers in as many different ways as possible. He is experimenting with different rule sets on what you can do with the workers and what you could do with pushing or with alternate rules and stuff like that. Santorini is just really cool. It's, like I say, and it got bought out by a new company that's manufacturing the original set with all the original quality pieces in it, but doing it cheaper. And so I think you can get it for like $33. Santorini is cheap for a board game with this much cool stuff in it. And it is quality. Solid, solid game. I highly recommend Santorini. And it plays, I think it plays best as a two-player game. But we tried it as a three-player today, and that worked out. And Eli's really proud of himself for winning. I mean, he just completely blindsided me he backed his workers into a corner, and thus, one worker just sat there and built until he won, and the other worker kind of blocked the opening so that no one could get in. I didn't have enough time to...
You need to really build something and get up there before...
You gotta stick close to the other guy, and, he completely fooled me.
With three players, you need to set on one person, but the problem is that you can't really...
Right. Eli sat there and left me and Noah to battle each other while he went off and did his own thing. It was really cool. So, like I say, I recommend on Santorini.
Eli
sits back, watches other people destroy themselves, and then he steps in and just takes over. So, but then also, I did a play test of God Ball, Friday night, and it was really good. It was, I played at the Clubhouse, which is our local gaming store, and it was me and Noah sat in with me, and then Jake, the guy who owns the Clubhouse, and let's see, Yancey showed up with his wife, and then another guy who is now on our boards, on the forums as Wowie is his username, and he also sat in with us. And it was exciting because it was a bunch of people who have not been a part of this process up till now, so they're getting introduced to it fresh, and everyone had a good time. Everyone really enjoyed it. Everyone had tons of feedback. I mean, like, I was just scribbling down notes. I just filled up like 3 pages worth of notebook for just notes on everything. I mean, like they were suggesting names for the cards. They were suggesting rewording of stuff. They were suggesting new powers and abilities. They were suggesting how to restructure the board. They were into it. And it was really cool. Now, the problem I had with it is that in this particular game, we tried playing without points for the god cards, which if you've been paying attention, that might mean something to you, or if you've played before. And so god cards were a little easier to get out there, and a slightly different system for how everything worked and refreshed and all that. But the main part that came up is that, yeah, the god cards were fun and cool, but we're also trying to play a game of ball here where you need to grab the ball and move it. And we had 6 people out there on the board, which meant that
man, once you had the ball and everyone turns on you, it is just a wall of meat. That's one of the people playing suggested that term and said, wow, every time you get the ball, it's just this wall of meat. There's no getting out. Because literally, it's just bodies surrounding you. And since you can't move through someone else's space, there was a lot of gridlock. It felt like, man, you get the ball, you zig and zag just a couple of spaces, and then boom, now you're trapped in a corner until you can try and muscle your way out.
Or you be me and you trick everyone else, and then someone trips you and you drop the ball.
Well, and that's the problem. I would love to have where you could trick everybody.
No,
in your game, but we changed the rules.
Wait, why? Because they're not
perfect. See? We're trying to fix it up so that we've got the God cards worked out, you know, just proof of concept. We know that the God cards work, but now we also need to get the ball movement and the other stuff going, and that's what we're focusing on. But for this particular playtest, we actually increased the hero points, so you should have had more maneuverability, more chances to do stuff, and yet because we had so many players, they'd get the ball and then they'd feel boxed in. And it was a little frustrating.
Wait, Dad?
And so, yeah.
In God Ball, do you have to play with 6 players?
No. We've tried, with 3 players, 4 players, and 6 players. We've never tried with 5. And I don't know how it would work with 2, but. Now, that aside, in this particular game, I came away from it excited because everyone had such good feedback. And I mean, like I say, they had so much stuff to say and so many good ideas. And I came away with all sorts of great thoughts, but I just felt a little dissatisfied with the whole experience. I couldn't tell what was wrong with it. And so I posted up all my notes. It took me a couple of days to really process my thoughts. I posted up all my notes online and we had some discussion about it. And then Dave, the co-designer of God Ball, said, his suggestion was, you know what we need to do now? I think we've proved that the cards are okay. I think we've gotten that part kind of worked out. I mean, yeah, we need to tweak them, but we know that the cards work. But the other part of this is it's supposed to be a game of sport ball. It's supposed to be soccer, and people are supposed to be moving this ball around. I think we need to work on that. I think we need to just set the cards aside and just play some games of just the board strategy part of it and just the ability to move stuff around and see what powers we need to add, what things we need to change. And I'm like, that's it. That was what we needed, because that was where the frustrations were. And I didn't really put all that together until he said something. I'm like, oh yeah. That's where I was frustrated, is that the actual ball play of this wasn't really working out for. So that's going to be our next series of playtests, is figuring out cool new maneuvers that we can do on the board, new ways to kick the ball around, throw it back and forth, new ways to get around people and through people. I'm really excited, because the more I work on that, the more it gives me really super cool ideas for then what kind of powers the heroes can have, what kind of cards we can adapt to augment those things and do cool stuff. So I think this is going to work out really well. Okay, I don't even know what else to say about the game, because I feel like when I do this stuff, I feel like I'm boring you guys, because it's a lot of inside baseball stuff, and it's you know, it's things that, yeah, me and Dave and other people who have actually play tested it, oh, we're all excited about this design stuff and ideas, but I feel like I'm boring the rest of you. So I'm going to set this one aside, but for those of you who are listening who are interested in playtesting the game, we have got print and play documents available. Let me know if you can't see them, and I will point you to them, and you are free to print up versions of this game and playtest it yourself, because even when it doesn't work, it's still a ton of fun. Yeah, all right, every game that we've had, even when we're not getting anywhere, even when we feel like we're never going to be able to score a point, still having fun trying. And this blows up the table and things go nuts, and it is a lot of fun to play. And your feedback is more than welcome and more than appreciated. So, stop on in. I will unlock the files for you if you need me to. So, all right. That's the end of my gaming table. And as I said before, the end of the meticulously plotted portion of this podcast, because I didn't plan anything. So, from here, we're just going to go straight to the Pod-O-Matic! Hot dog. This is the Nerd Pride Radio Pod-O-Matic. At the end of every cast, I bring out R2 and his fully pimped out Pod-O-Matic bubble, and he rolls up random topics for me to talk about. Where do these topics come from, you ask? Well, that's where you come in. If you want to hear me haver on about something, you send your question or topic to me by email or, better yet, in a private message on my forums, and I will add it to my Pod-O-Matic list. Pod-O-Matic is about whatever you want it to be. And, you know, I know I go through that whole intro kind of automatically every week, but I would like to point out that it is time to start sending me more. We're down to 116 entries on the Pod-O-Matic charts, so that means that after today, by next week, we'll be running low. Once we're under 100, we are officially running low because we can't fill out the whole chart. So if you've got some thoughts, some ideas, some random nonsense that you would like to add to the Pod-O-Matic list, please, just send me a message, text me, I don't care, Facebook, whatever, however you want to get a hold of me, send me some Pod-O-Matics, I'll put them in here. All right. Having said all that, first number is 12. And 12 comes from Kaz. All right. And Kaz says, what race from Starfinder do you wish you could play? Oh, there are so many. I think, man. All right. I am very intrigued by the Akeshti. They are like kobold-sized lizard people. But they have this odd life cycle where they go through this ravenous, mindless, juvenile phase, and then they grow into mature breeding adults. Well, they have an adolescence, and then they have an adult phase, and then they have... Anyway, once they get past their mating phase, then they get to the section where... go ahead.
Basically, they go into this one form where all they think about is violence and mating. And after they mate, the two of them fight to the death. If the guy wins, they become a broodminder and only help bait babies and will even kill off weak ones. And then the other one becomes something else. But if they don't find a mate, they become mindless brutes that Akeshti just hates.
Exactly.
Because they feel like it brings shit. That they ruin...
Yes, bring shame to their people.
Yeah.
Yes. And so, yeah, so the Akeshti, they go into this breeding phase, and once they've bred and it's all done, afterwards, males become broodminders and take care of young, and females become caretakers of society as a whole, which means that the ones that you are actual playable characters, the ones that you see wandering around among the other races, those are all the females post-mating phase. And then, as Noah pointed out, then they also have this third form where if you never find a mate, the hormones just keep causing them to grow larger and meaner and stupider forever. And eventually they get hunted down by their own people and destroyed because they've lost their minds completely. It's just a bizarre society, and everything that they have in their society is shaped by, this whole dynamic, this whole life cycle. And I find them fascinating. But, ultimately, you know, after you get through all of that, essentially, I'm playing a kobold. So, it's not as much as I am fascinated by them as a people, and I would love to include them, in a setting and have plot lines revolve around them because of their interesting society. I don't know that an individual character would be the best. I also really like the Marakoi, who they're, a furry monkey-like people with prehensile tails. And, again, their society is shaped by their planet, which is unbelievably violent. So they all have to be, quick and powerful, warriors of a sort just to stay one step ahead of the violence of the jungles of their planet. But then also their whole, society, their mating and breeding is, revolves around a variety of genders that are all required. So you actually have to have, like, literally their genetics have designed it so that it does take a village to raise a child. Like, there has to be a bunch of them.
Seven exactly.
And so if you're missing any part of this, then, so they're very interdependent.
One that isn't even part of the mating somehow passes on genes.
Right.
And the caretaker.
Yep. And so, as a result, they believe strongly in peace and protecting life, but because of the violence of their planet, they happen to be extremely skilled warriors, and there's a dynamic there that I really, really like. So that would probably be the one I'd want, is the Marikoi. Although, the gnomes have, some interesting twists to them now, too. Yeah, I wouldn't mind being a bleachling gnome. Oh, they are cool. But a Marikoi. That'll be the one that I'm going to name, and then I'm going to quit talking about Starfinder. We'll move on. 97. 97 is way down here. And that is... Oh, man, this list is short. All right, here we go. 97 is from Stan. And Stan says... he says, bed, wed, or behead. Gluttony, avarice, or sloth. Oh, man. Gluttony, avarice, or sloth. What? You can't give me lust as one of the choices?
What's avery?
Avarice? Greed.
Oh.
So, all right. I am going to, I'm going to marry avarice because I think he or she will have the nicest stuff. I will try. Oh man. Let's see. Boy, this is tough. You know what? Neither of these choices appeal to me. I am going to behead gluttony, and I will have, I will bed sloth. And, oh man. Not great choices, but you know what? R2 saved me. Alright. R2 says our next one is 89. And 89 is, oh, it's right here. It's from Kyle. Alright. Kyle says, hold on a sec. There we go. Kyle says, okay. Spotify update. I've found my new favorite punk cover song, Versa Emerge version of Paint It Black. Wait, no. Brian's song by Me First is still the best, and maybe Come On Eileen by Save Ferris. But this is in the top three. Okay, I'm going to go listen to that. Hold on a minute. Okay, not bad. All right, I agree with you. That one's pretty good. I don't know where I'd rank it yet because I'd have to listen through it a couple of times. But, man, that's really good. So, thank you. 85. I love punk covers. My brother has found some of the coolest punk covers ever. Sent me several discs full of them way back when, back around the time of Napster when you had a tough time finding every song you ever wanted all the time. Yeah, he actually did the work, dug them out. Put them all together for us. It was pretty cool. So anyway, next one, 85, it's from Kaz again. Give us your favorite style of Chex Mix. Alright, I have three answers here. If it's just buying it off the shelf, I just go with whatever the cheesiest Chex Mix I can get is. That's pretty normal. But alternately, my mom makes a super spicy Chex Mix that she sends, at Christmas. And I really like that a lot. But the best is our, we call it trail mix, but it's the trail mix we put together whenever we go traveling. I've talked about that before, where we put in, all sorts of, different stuff in it. So it's got potato sticks, it's got, regular Chex Mix, it's got some Gardettos in there, there's usually, pretzel M&Ms and, cherry nibs and combos, and there's all sorts of stuff that goes in that one. That's my favorite. But yeah, if I've just got to buy it off the shelf, I just get the cheesy Chex Mix. I like that. 49. 49 is from Mrs. Darks. And Mrs. Darks says, how do you feel about oatmeal raisin cookies? I love oatmeal raisin cookies. Oh man, they're great. It's an age thing that as I've gotten older, I don't appreciate sugar as much as I used to. I mean, I still like sugar. Don't get me wrong. But if I've got a choice of cookies, I will often take oatmeal raisin over, over chocolate chip, just because, man, I really like oatmeal raisin now. That's just not always the case, but something that you appreciate as you get older, I think. Or at least that's the case for me. So I love them. 17 from Mr. Talvin. All right. Talvin says, excluding the colors in the original Crayola 8-count box of crayons, red, yellow, blue, green, orange, brown, violet, purple, and black, what is your favorite color? I'm going to just simplify my answer and say steel gray. How's that? Or is there just a, it's not steel gray, it's a steel blue. Steel blue, steel gray. It's right in there. Is there a steel blue in the 128 count Crayola box? Probably. All right, 63. Or flesh. Obviously flesh is everyone's favorite color. And then 63 is from Kyle. Kyle says, I realize that our kids are missing out on many of the parental touchstones that shaped our lives. Mr. Drummond, Mrs. Garrett, Mr. Belvedere, Charles. They don't know who any of them are. Do they stand a chance of improving the species? Oh, really? You think Charles was really the best example for kids? I mean, yes, Charles was in charge, and he did have this very nurturing side to him, but he was also kind of a hound dog, you know what I mean? I mean, a lot of episodes were focused on how do I take care of these kids and get myself laid? Not always the greatest, but you're right. Our culture has just gone downhill. But you know what? They have their own. I mean, obviously, they've got to have some of their own examples of this sort of parent figure in their own TV shows and sitcoms, right? I can't. Eli? Help me out here. Yeah, but see, that's what I'm thinking. Jimmy Neutron's dad, but he's just a goober. We're not seeing that. Right, but see. I mean, I suppose Fairly Odd Parents, the fairies took care of Timmy at least as well as Charles did, so that's fair. But I think a lot of Noah's over there. Noah just screamed, "No!" He's over there playing Rhino Hero by himself, and he just lost his tower. So you're funny, Noah. Okay, I don't know where I'm going with this one. Let's just reroll. 21 is from, there it is, Mrs. Darks again. And Mrs. Darks says, tell us a story about a time your parents totally trolled you. Totally trolled me. I don't know about trolling for sure. The one story I always tell about my dad is, in a sense it was trolling, because we wound up getting in trouble and he was mad. I mean, really mad. You could just see he was super mad. And so there was like five of us. It was me and my two brothers and then like my cousin Rob and like just some random friend of ours who happened to be there. And we had just screwed up a bunch of stuff in the kitchen. And so he had all of us line up. And he says, all right, line up. And so we're all standing there in a line and we're just shaking. And then he's like, no, not like that. And he like rearranges us so that we're kind of in size order. And then he proceeds to slap us by going down the line like a Three Stooges move, like not hard enough to hurt us at all. Just like literally just like the Three Stooges, just runs his hand down along the line of faces and goes, doot, 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 doot. And then none of us said anything. We didn't laugh. We didn't react because what the hell is Dad doing? And since we didn't react, he didn't backhanded us and went the other way. Doot, 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 doot. And then he's just laughing his ass off. And then finally we get, oh, he's not mad anymore. It was just funny. Okay. Oh, phew, we're good. So, that was a pretty good one. If the boys are here, boys, are you guys here?
Yeah.
Do you have a story of a time that, mom and dad trolled you guys? A time that we maybe tried to convince you of something that wasn't true and you bought into it?
Not really.
Ah, Oh, man. Yeah, you're hard-pressed to find the time. We're not doing that. We're like Calvin's parents that way. Jacob was just telling us a story of how when he was little, Lisa always told him that, hey, you know, you can't go peeking in on your Christmas presents. If we find out that you peeked on your presents before you got them, we're just taking them back. So stay out of there. And he wound up seeing something that he assumed was a Christmas present for him. And we're like, what are you doing in there? And so he thought he'd been caught. It wasn't a present for him. I can't remember what it was, but it wasn't a present for him. Yeah, it was for one of the nephews, but he thought it was a present for him. And then when Christmas Day came and he didn't get that gift, he's like, oh my God, they really took it back. I can't believe, like, for years he believed that until he finally fessed up this story to us and we're like, and he's like, yeah, and then I saw the present and you guys took it back. I can't believe you did that. And we're like, oh, that wasn't for you. That was like completely, I don't know, that was a pretty good one. So. 72 is, hey, here we go. It's from Kyle. And Kyle says, what was the last thing you actually wagered on? And what did you wager? The last time I wagered on anything would have been on slot machines. No, well, technically no lottery tickets. And it was when the Powerball and the Mega Millions were both up over a half billion each. And so I went in and I bought two tickets for each of them. So I wagered $8 and then I lost. So there you go. Why? What's the last thing we wagered on?
You just bet Eli that he was not going to win the game.
Oh, that's...
Now,
that wasn't an actual wager because I never actually put any money on it. But yes, Santorini, when he had us backed in the corner and he was so confident he had won, I'm like, nope, I bet I can win. I've got this one. I know I can do it. And they're like, how? What are you going to do? And so I got over there. I said, Eli, I'm going to make my move and then I will give you $40 if you choose not to win on this move. And then he didn't believe me, so he didn't actually take it, which was a good move on his part because I was not going to give him $40. But the last actual gambling I did was lottery tickets. 84 is from Kaz. All right. And Kaz says, sneaky goblins, heroic islanders, or drunken monks, which dream do I chase next? What? Sneaky goblins. If those are my three choices, sneaky goblins, heroic islanders, or drunken monks, I'm going to tell you go for the goblins. 96. 96. And it is, oh, one we already did. That was Stan. All right, let's go 37. Hopefully we have it. There we go. 37 is from Phoebe. All right, somebody new. Phoebe says, are you familiar with the book series about superhero pets, such as Superman's dog, pet dog Crypto? And if so, what do you think of it? I am familiar with some of these superhero pets. And, yeah, other than Crypto and I can't remember the name of Superman's horse. And I know there's a cat in there somewhere. Does the cat belong to Batman or Supergirl or I can't remember.
What?
There's a bunch of super pets.
Wait, did you say horse?
Yeah, Superman has a horse.
You don't count the horse because in England they eat horses.
What? No. Superman has a horse. It's a super horse. I don't know what your problem is. But
let me
tell you what, in general, I don't approve of any of the super pets. I think it's a stupid idea. The only super pet that counts for anything is Dino Mutt. All the rest of them are garbage. 92.
Oh, dang, I can't go back on that one, Dad.
92 is from Ronster.
Picking me up okay?
No, it is not picking you up okay. 92 is from Ronster. Ronster says, what is your favorite woodworking project for Boy Scouts? Trebuchet, or catapult, but, either of those are absolutely, number one, the best possible woodworking projects, because there is no chance that they don't have a use for this when they're done with it. All right? And usually, like, I've seen them build catapults and trebuchets. They're just in, like, little tabletop size. And so, yeah, who doesn't want a rubber band-powered catapult that they can fling crap across the room with? That thing is awesome. Trebuchets are even better. You need to build those a little bit bigger, but they work out really super well. And again, there is no Boy Scout, Girl Scout, or any other human being who isn't going to build a catapult or trebuchet and then be thrilled to death with it. It is exciting and motivating. Super cool. 89. Nope, done that one. 27 comes from Kaz again. Kaz is going to assign me homework. That's so mean. Read this first. Okay. Alright, hold on. Okay, I've done my homework and I read the article. Now, let's see what the rest of the question is. Now, assuming this were to catch on. Okay, yeah, it is a man in India who has invented edible cutlery so that you don't have to be throwing disposable plastic away and then ruining our planet. So, if you have edible cutlery, what flavor of disposable cutlery would you prefer? Obviously nacho cheese.
Obviously not what?
I said nacho cheese. 57. 57. I'm going to 16 total ones here, and then that way I will be at exactly 100 for next week.
I'm sorry, what's going on with that?
So 57. Oh, I'm still inside that cell, so that's why it keeps carrying on like that. All right, 57 is... There we go. It's from Phoebe. Who is your favorite U.S. Supreme Court justice, past or present? Man, I don't like to play favorites, but right now, Ruth Bader Ginsburg. I just like Ruth Bader Ginsburg, and I know she's not doing well, and so I hope she can live for at least, you know, 2-3 more years. That would be kind of nice. But
why?
Anyway,
wait,
Ruth Bader Ginsburg, she's a Supreme Court justice. And so with Supreme Court justices, they serve on the court for their lifetime. And what happened was with the last Supreme Court justice he got to nominate, Trump nominated an extreme conservative who is fairly young, which means he will be on the court for 40 years. And so if Ruth Bader Ginsburg were to die, or any of the liberal judges, then it would kind of unbalance the court because it would start shifting it back to the right. And the way he's nominating federal judges, it looks like he's far more concerned about nominating young conservative people and not worried about whether or not they're qualified for the job. He's actually had two now federal judges he's nominated who have gotten their review from the Bar Association, and basically the Bar has said that, no, these people are absolutely not qualified for this job. They've never been in a courtroom. They've never heard any cases. They don't know the basics of what they would have to be doing. Because they were extremely young and extremely conservative, and that's the only part that he cares about. And then that way, once they get in office, they'll be beholden to him, and he thinks that they will help him out. So, yeah, and it's a little... So, yeah, I am taping right now. So, anyway, so Ruth Bader Ginsburg right now. Okay, number 67 is from Ronster. And Ron says, the nerd, and he puts nerd in quotation marks, as if he doesn't believe it really exists. The nerd brand is really going well these days, but it was not always so. Do you foresee an end to these glory days? What might dethrone nerdiness? Yeah, look, everything comes and goes. I mean, you know, for the longest time, Westerns and World War II movies were the biggest box office, and we got hundreds of them, thousands of them. You know, and then it was nothing but action cop movies, and action cop movies still do a pretty decent business. And now superhero movies are all over, and eventually that'll phase out. Eventually people will get tired of it. It'll be old hat. It's time to move on to something fresh, something new. But I don't know. I think it is, I think there's also going to be an evolution in what is considered nerdy. Now that we've gotten to the point where any niche thing can be can become mainstream with, you know, the right with the right attention, then I think we're going to see a lot more of these small side interest little things that have been, you know, cult favorites forever, and now suddenly they're pulled out into the limelight, and that will be the new nerd thing. And I think I don't think being a nerd itself, or the I don't think nerdiness itself will disappear. But I do think what it is that we currently think of as nerd pursuits will change. And over time, we'll see different stuff that's considered nerdy or edgy or out there or whatever. What do I know? I just like what I like. 63 we've done. 24. And 24 is from Walrus. Hey, Walrus. Good to hear from you. Walrus says...
That'll do, but I'll be back.
That's it. Walrus, apparently I copied all of his podomatics off of the message he sent me, and I caught the last line that winds up in its own box and just says, "That'll do for now, but I'll be back." I guess that's where we end. So thanks, Walrus. All right, I'm going to turn it over to GLaDOS, and she's going to give us a recap of this week's episode so far.
Remember when the platform was sliding into the fire pit and I said goodbye, and you were like,
"No way."
And then I was all, "We pretended we were going to murder you."
That was great.
This podcast is copyright 2017 by Nerd Pride Radio. The opening and closing theme is Death Metal Disco by Ian Kronk. My bumper music this week was just Weezer's In the Garage. All the songs I use are available on iTunes. Check them out, buy them, enjoy them. I wouldn't put them in my podcast if I didn't love them. If you want to help out Nerd Pride, subscribe to this podcast in iTunes or whatever podcatcher you use, and write me a nice review, because those things make a difference. Actually, I don't give a crap if you write a nice review. Write a horrible review. Say that this podcast gave you cancer. It doesn't matter, as long as it comes with 5 stars, because that's what they look at. If you want to do something even nicer for this podcast, recommend it to your friends. If you enjoy it, spread the word and let other people enjoy it. Word of mouth is my bread and butter, people. Remember, I am always looking for you listeners to do my work for me. Don't forget to send me questions and topics for the Podomatic. Watch out every week on the forums and on Facebook for listener betrayal. And if you have a really interesting nerd fact about any of our upcoming episode numbers, send it to me and save me all that grueling research. My contact information, mike@nerdprideradio.com, @nerdprideradio on Twitter, facebook.com/nerdprideradio. But to be completely honest, the very best way to talk to me is come sign up for my forums at nerdprideradio.com/nerds. Sign up there, send me a message. We will hang out together and become best friends in the world. We'll have fun. And now it's time for listener betrayal. Before I start recording every podcast, I go out to the forums and Facebook, post up, "Hey, I am recording. Anything you guys say, I will read off right at the end of the podcast," which is what I'm doing right now. First, we'll start off over at my forums where nobody responded, which is probably my fault because I said, "Hey, I'm recording. Regale me with a story." And so probably they've all been so busy typing their stories, they haven't had enough time to finish. And now I'm going to get done recording, turn all this off, and then, you know, 20 minutes from now, suddenly it's going to pop up from everybody. I'm sure that's what's happening. It's not just that they're all busy and didn't have time for me. So, heading on over to Facebook, however, Facebook starts off with Nelly. Hello, Nelly. Nelly says, "Hi, Mike. How was your week? I read some books recently that I think you and yours would like. One is The NPCs. Really fun. These are adventure fantasy book series about NPCs in a role-playing game taking over. It's really cute." Okay. That actually sounds like something I would enjoy. And the other one is Words on the Move, which is all about how and why words change over time. I think you would really enjoy this one. God, of course I would really enjoy that one. That sounds awesome. Hold
history.
On a minute. Yeah, well, history of words. Even better. Yeah, hold on a second. Okay, and I just went to Amazon to look up Words on the Move, and it is exactly as I suspected, that Words on the Move is written by John McWhorter, who is the host of the Lexicon Valley podcasts that I listen to, and I love John McWhorter. That guy is awesome. Yes. Yeah, you listened in on one with me, Eli. Yeah. I love John McWhorter. He's awesome.
I was surprised because he actually responded to one of your things, and I was like, that sounds like something Dad would really like for some reason.
Yeah. Yeah.
No kidding. It's made by him.
That guy, yeah, he is a great dude, and his focus is on how languages change. He knows an awful lot about language because, you know, he's a linguist and all. But, his particular passion is, how and why languages change over time. And I'm fascinated by it. I love everything he does. So yes, I would absolutely love this book. What a good choice. Let's see. After Nelly, I have, Sarah Beth. And Sarah Beth says, do you guys get January thaw? Yeah. Sometimes. She said, ours only lasted 2 days this year, and then we got almost a foot of snow over ice in one night. Better than no thaw at all, though. I'm oddly curious about weather in other parts of the country. In other news, okay, first off, weather. Lately, we get more thaw days in December, January, and February than we did when I was a kid. It used to be, I remember being a kid, and a lot of this was in New York, but even when we were in Nebraska, we would get the first snow maybe in October, right? Like, you might see just a fluttering of snow before Halloween, but maybe not. But then you'd get your first snow somewhere in November, and it would melt off. But then sometime in December, usually before Christmas, you would get the snow would settle in, and then you would not see the ground until at least mid-February. Like, we would wind up with snow on the ground, and it would not go away until mid-February. 3 solid months of snow. And now, we still get a lot of snow, but, you know, it stays for a few days, and then it melts off, and then we get some more snow, and then it melts off. Now, the last couple of weeks, we've had some days up to 40 and 50, but then we've also had some days where the wind chill is down to negative 20. So, in fact, we've got the next 2 days are supposed to be 30 below wind chill. So it's going to be cold out. But our snow in Nebraska, at least, it gets bitter ass cold here, but the snow doesn't hang around like I remember it doing once upon a time. So we get a lot of snow and then it just disappears on us and then we wait for more. So we just enough time to shovel it away and then it melts by itself. So that's our weather. But whoops, God, I almost knocked the microphone over. That's weird. Sarah Beth has more that says, I am, all right. In other news, may I recommend a podcast or three? Sure. I'm on a ghost stories kick and I highly recommend the Strange and Unusual podcast, Haunted, and Pleasing Terrors. They are similar in style to my beloved Lore, and they are really good. Okay, cool. I got some gaps to fill in, so I will plug in one or three of those, and we'll see how they turn out. So I'm always open for new podcasts. Worst that can happen is I'll listen to an episode or two and then decide it's not for me. So you know what? No harm. Doesn't require a lot out of me, so more than happy to do it. And then the last one comes from my mom. And my mom says, hi, Mike, you have the best podcast I have ever heard. Stay warm. See, she knows that the weather's going to turn bitter on us here. Have you ever listened to any other podcast? Well, okay, you probably listened to Kyle's podcast, when he did his. But mine is still the best. So, okay, you know what? It actually does mean something because she's listened to more than one podcast. So, sorry, Kyle. I'm sorry you had to hear it like this, but, you know, things happen, dude. Look, I loved your podcast. I really did. I wish you would go back to making it. It entertained the crap out of me, but apparently it wasn't to mom's liking. So, God, you'll never be good enough. All right. That is the end of this podcast. You guys are awesome. Sorry it was a short one, but, you know, things happen. I appreciate you guys being around. I love you guys. I will see you next week. We will have more fun. It'll be awesome. Say goodnight, Noah.
Good night.
Say goodnight, Eli. Good night. Yeah. Lisa? Lisa?
What?
Say goodnight.
What?